the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We confess as Christians that we trust the Lord. We say that we can trust Him to provide for our daily and our spiritual needs every single day, our daily physical and daily spiritual needs. We acknowledge that we trust Him to keep us through death and into the kingdom of heaven. With that said, though, we also worry. We really do. We also worry at the same time. Yes, because we Christians are also tainted with sin in this life. We are full of worry, we're full of distrust, and we're full of unbelief, which then leads us to ask God if He will actually take care of our bodies and souls. So we spend hours upon hours feeding this worry, feeding this distrust. From morning to sundown, we spend time pursuing and worrying about what we need to do in order to make it in this life. We'll watch the stock market, try to give our kids a good start in this life. We'll save our money for retirement. We'll buy health insurance and home insurance and other insurance and insurance and an insurance and insurance to hedge ourselves against loss. And we cannot forget our other forms of worry. We try to outdo our friends and our families, trying to rise above them with our houses and our vehicles. We actually think to ourselves that if we have a better house and more stuff, we will surely outlast our neighbor if the economy fails. Furthermore, our worry drives us to be competitors in business and the workplace, to see who can make the best living and accumulate the most stuff to become the most secure and wield the most power, all of this in an effort to feel secure. Once we shore up on all these provisions, once we secure all of this, you would think that our worry would subside, that our worry would then decrease. However, nothing changes. In fact, our actions basically create more things for us to worry about. Dear friends, just think about how much of our daily lives are spent in pursuit of eliminating worry. In the midst of our North American world that is actually saturated with worry, we're confronted by the Old Testament lesson from this morning. Look at the widow of Zarephath that we read about this morning. Did not she have a reason to worry? She had no husband. She was caught in a drought, which meant that there was no food. There was no way for her to provide for herself. and she was trying to raise a son as a single mother. This was a person who had absolutely nothing. She had nothing, no control, no power. There was nothing that she could do to change her circumstances. There was nothing that she could do to improve her situation, and she knew it. The only thing that she had control of was accepting that she and her son were going to die. Her awful situation actually stares us in the face this morning, does it not? And it humbles us. It actually humbles us. Should we really be so consumed with worry when things could be so much worse, like that widow of Zarephath? However, the widow of Zarephath, we need to keep in mind, she did not have worry. I repeat, she did not have worry. She was not worried at all. For her worry and doubt had given way to hopelessness and despair. She went beyond worry into that pit of despair and hopelessness where she accepted the fact that she was going to die. We can hear it in her words to Elijah when he asked her to make him some bread. Listen again and hear how helpless and how hopeless she was and how hopeless she felt. She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of oil in a jug, and now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." These are not the words of hope and control, my friends. She was getting ready to make her last meal for herself and her son. Just a little bit of bread and a little bit of oil mixed together. That is certainly not much for a last meal. She had come to the realization that this was the end for her. There was nothing more. There was not going to be a government program that would come in and help her out, and there was nothing more that she could do to change what was about to happen. Her pagan gods had not listened to her cries for help, and she believed that Elijah's God, which is our God, would not listen to her as well, for she was a Gentile and not a Jew. But God had looked upon her situation. He had looked upon her situation, and he had mercy on her. For he had not chosen a woman of Israel, but this widow to send his prophet Elijah to. With that stated, we have already heard the rest of the story. She made that bread, but for many days, and the flour and the oil never ran out as God had promised through the prophet Elijah. As we consider the Old Testament lesson this morning, I want you to consider the true miracle that we're given in this story, that we're given here this day. In other words, it is tempting to look at this message and to look at this flour and this oil that was always replenished and marvel at that miracle. We might even like to use this passage to comfort others who are worrying, say, you know, something like this. See, God will always provide as he provided for the woman at Zarephath. However, this is not the true miracle of our text this morning. Yes, it is amazing that God used a little bit of flour and oil for food. Furthermore, God provides for all of his creation every day. However, the real miracle of today's Old Testament lesson is that this poor widow who was given into hopelessness and despair, sunk down so deep that she was preparing for death, who basically accepted the reality that she was going to die with her son in her arms, was given faith. She was given faith. When the prophet Elijah, he came to her, came to this woman, he said these words, "Do not fear, do not fear. The Lord of Israel will see to it that your jar of flour and your jug of oil shall not be empty. Do not fear." Indeed, the real miracle is that the woman was taken from hopelessness and death to faith in the Lord God. That is the miracle. Faith in the promised word of God is the miracle of our text this morning. The widow went in and shared what was to be her last meal with Elijah, believing that the flour and the oil would not be used up. This is truly amazing. As we consider all of this, I believe it would be fair to say that in the midst of our busy worry, the story of the widow of Zarephath actually shames us. It shames us, does it not? It shames me. She has nothing, and then when the word of God comes to her through the prophet Elijah, she gladly, by faith, cooks up the last of her flour and oil, knowing that the Lord was going to take care of her and her son, for the Lord told her not to fear. She gave the leftover food. She gave everything that she had. She gave it to Elijah, trusting that the Lord would provide, and knowing that even if the flour and the oil ran out, that the Lord had her eternal good taken care of as well. Does this describe us today, my friends? Does this text describe us today? Are we like that widow? Are we like that widow at Zarephath? Or do we give of our leftovers like the Pharisees, putting whatever we decide we can afford forth without cutting into our pockets too deep? Do we trust the Lord? Do we trust that He will provide for us, even if the check looks small or the farming prices look too low? Do we trust God above all things? Do we really believe and understand what is provided for us here in the Word and Sacrament? The truth is, the brutal truth is this, that we're all sinners here today. Yes, indeed, we are all sinners who are consumed with worry. We are in need of repentance and forgiveness. And that is where the gospel comes in for you, and it comes in for me. While we are shown our shortcomings in the story of the widow of Zarephath, we're also shown our comfort in this story, for we see the faith of the woman. In other words, apart from the gift of the Spirit, the woman could not believe in the true God, let alone have faith in His promise. Therefore, the faith that we see in this widow is the same faith given to you and to me in our baptisms. In those waters, you've been given true and saving faith by the Holy Spirit. In those waters, you are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, who had perfected faith for you. He trusted perfectly. Yes, Jesus trusted perfectly for all those times that we do not, and those times are many in this life. Yet, as we come and confess our sins and repent, we stand forgiven anew, indeed. That is the true and lasting gift that God has given you this day. That is forgiveness, life, and salvation that will never run out or will never become empty. In Christ and His bloody death on the cross, you are freed from sin, freed from death, and freed from the devil with everlasting forgiveness, life, and salvation that continually pour out upon you day after day after day. This, my friends, is what moves the Christian in this life. This is what actually frees us from the snare of worry. This is what moved the widow. She did not give so that God would somehow reward her and give her even more than she gave. The widow of Zarephath, she did not give like 10 jars of flour and 10 jugs of oil because she wanted to get more in return. We do not give to our Lord because we have to, but because we are blessed to, and because we're freed to. We're freed from worry through the gospel. And when we give of all that we have in faith, we can be assured that God will take care of us. He will take care of you. He has promised to take care of us. As a matter of fact, my friends, He has taken care of you because God has already given all that He has for you. It is kind of humbling. It really is humbling to think about it. And at the same time, wonderful. We owe everything to God. We are the debtors. We are His enemies by birth. And we often sin against Him in every way imaginable. Yet God has been the most generous giver of all, because He withholds absolutely nothing from you, not even His one and only Son. He gave it all, my friends. He gave it all to buy you out of slavery, not to make you His own slave, but to make you His own free child. And in doing so, God our Father has already provided for our every need, and we shall not fear, and we shall not worry. Even if all things fail in this world, you and I still have the everlasting joy of salvation in Jesus. There is nothing, my friends, there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from Him. You have been crucified with Christ, and in Him you have been freed and fed the true bread of heaven, and also have a part in His resurrection. Do not fear. The Lord says, "Do not fear, for I have provided life, salvation, forgiveness of sins, unending for you, day after day after day." In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.PastorMattRichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ZionGwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.